Our next presentation is by Michael Plumley, Relative Reproduction of Southern Root Knot Nematode on Root Knot Nematode Susceptible and Resistant Cotton Varieties.
All right. Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, I work for Clemson. I'm a Precision Ag Extension Specialist, but I've been working with Dr. John Mueller a little bit over the last year, with my interest being on looking at how the resistant varieties perform compared to some of the other varieties and where that might have an application on multi-variety planting. But today I'm going to be presenting some research that we did last year. Similarly to a lot of what Dr. Kimmerite said, you'll probably see a lot of similarities in what we're doing. So starting with the introduction, it's estimated that growers in the southeast are probably observing at least 5% yield loss annually due to southern root knot. Our traditional control measures for nematodes in the southeast are first probably the use of a nematicide, crop rotation with non-host crops, and then third to probably rotate in some sort of a resistant variety. So just to kind of go through the basics again, commercially available nematicides include Telon 2, Aldicarb or AgLogic, Flupyrim or Vellum Total, and then some seed treatments with nematicidal properties. Crop rotation for southern root knot, especially in South Carolina, is probably a big help to some degree. Rotating cotton with peanut or a non-host crop is relatively popular in the southeast, especially in my region, where a lot of our growers are rotating cotton with peanut. In terms of resistant varieties, in the past, it's strictly been for southern root knot. Luckily, with some of these new varieties, we do have improved southern root knot control and some control of reniform. But oftentimes when we talk about these varieties, you still hear growers talk about the yield lag associated with them or the yield drag. And so again, that's kind of where I come into this, looking at some multi-variety planting. Can we just put these varieties in different areas of the field, or really is there a yield drag associated with some of the newer lines that are coming out? Other things that you often hear people talk about is maybe they have poor agronomic traits with lint loss or string out, different varying degrees of boll rot, and then probably more popularly would be the varying herbicide traits that unfortunately is probably driving some of their decision on what variety to plant. So like was alluded to in the prior talk, a lot of the major cotton seed companies have really bought into the southern root knot resistant lines. I think this is a complete list of what's currently available. Like you can see from Phytogen, we have several different options moving forward to evaluate and try to fit into our production systems. So again, our recommendations still rely on the use of multiple nematode control measures. You know, if you really have a problem, you're probably going to try to incorporate multiple tactics into your system to reduce nematodes. So whether that be the use of a nematicidal seed treatment, with or without an in-furrow nematicide, and then throw in the crop rotation. So depending on what we're doing, we can obviously incur a lot of cost per acre, especially if we did add in something like Telon 2. But really kind of the question that we had coming out of this research is, can we incorporate a resistant variety and eliminate one or more of these control measures and do just as good? So obviously there'd be benefits to that, applicator safety and things like that, ease of controlling nematodes. So obviously some of the previous research, advancing nematode resistant lines into elite breeding lines is challenging. So that's probably the big reason why if we have seen a yield drag, that's probably associated with why complex, time consuming and costly to do that. High levels of resistance should have greater effect on yield, and a slight to moderate level of resistance may not. And so that might be associated with why we've seen some of the yield penalties associated with some of these older varieties is maybe the level of resistance to nematodes that we've had isn't where it needed to be to really show the yield potential that we're saving from those varieties. And again, additional benefits aside from maintaining the yield would be reducing the residual nematode populations in the soil for the following year. So that kind of leads us into our objectives. The first was to determine relative impacts of Aldicarb, nematicidal seed treatments, and host plant resistance on southern root knot, nematode reproduction, and commercially available cotton varieties. The second objective was to start generating a database for us to use to compare The recovery and imitation of the soil roots and evaluate galling indices as predictors of yield loss. And then what we anticipate on doing this year in 2020 would be based on these results that we have here, we want to start looking at the yield differences based on the resistance or tolerant cotton varieties. So as far as what we did last year, materials and methods, we had one location in Blackville, South Carolina. The soil texture was relatively sandy, probably a sand content greater than 85% on loamy sands. We planted May 21st, and this followed soybean in 2018. It was irrigated land, conventional tillage, and we did in-row subsoiling. So we had four row plots, 38-inch row spacing, or 96 centimeters. Plot length was relatively long, 73 meters with three reps, and it was randomized complete block with paired plots. So we had next to every variety was with and without Aldicarb. So again, we used seven different varieties, kind of wanted a good broad view of kind of what's out there. Again, 1646 would probably be the grower standard in our area, 1747, 1840 from Delta Pine. And then we had Phytogen 350, 430, and 480, and Stonewall 5600. Again, all these varieties were planted with and without Aldicarb. And then in terms of seed treatment, we were able to get the Delta Pine varieties with and without Nemastrike and the Stonewall variety with and without Copio and Aris. The Phytogen we just only had with their seed treatment on it. So for some of the data, we'll probably pull without Phytogen in it in terms of looking at the seed treatment alone, but we had quite a bit of different treatment combinations. The data collection that was done was nematode soil samples at planting 6 weeks after planting and harvest. Also did cotton root samples at 6 weeks after planting. The data was analyzed using or subjected to ANOVA and proteoglymics, means separated using alpha 0.05. So moving into our results section, this table is just to give you an idea of what nematodes were like at planting by different species. Obviously, what we're more interested in is the root knot nematode in this presentation, but you can see that these were nematode samples collected by a field rep, so relatively low, not completely zero across the field. But jumping into our 6 weeks results, so 6 weeks after planting, looking at nematode soil counts, we've got the count over here on the y-axis and our in-furrow treatment on the x. This is just pooled across variety and seed treatment, so looking at Aldicarb, you can see that Aldicarb still really worked very well in terms of reducing nematode counts 6 weeks after planting. Similarly with the root counts, so everything's the same in terms of the graph, except for now we're looking at root counts. On nematodes, again, Aldicarb provide pretty good control 6 weeks after planting. Also looking at root galls, again, kind of the same story. Aldicarb just really did a good job. This is on a scale of 0 to 5, so nothing was too high on the root galling, but Aldicarb still was significantly better. So now shifting from pooled across seed treatment and variety, now we're looking at just nematicidal seed treatments. Again, removing those phytogens since we only had it with the seed treatment. And again, we're looking at 6 weeks after planting, nematode soil counts on the Y, and then with and without the seed treatment. And we really didn't have a difference at 6 weeks after planting. And that's probably not very surprising because that would probably be expecting a lot out of a seed treatment for that much control that late in the season. But we still wanted to evaluate it and look at it. Again, looking at root counts, kind of the same story. No difference when just looking at seed treatment and then root galling as well. So, again, I think seed treatments definitely have their fit, but maybe not seeing something all the way out to 6 weeks. So, lastly, kind of looking at a lot of our varieties. So this was pulled across Aldicarb and seed treatment, and we did look at a lot of these interactions between variety and Aldicarb and variety and seed treatment, and we didn't have any significant interactions. So that's kind of why we're showing these main effects separately. But what we've got is variety across the bottom, and Dr. Mueller kind of wanted to break these up into what he would consider maybe a susceptible intermediate and resistant lines. to kind of show the trend of what we were seeing with the soil counts. So this is 6 weeks after planting nematode soil counts again. We've got nematode counts on the y-axis. And so the take home to me with this, looking at this graph, is that, okay, 1646, our what we're calling susceptible variety, definitely had more nematodes in the soil than we did with all of our resistant varieties. So I guess in terms of if we're using a resistant variety to hopefully lower residual nematode counts, it's probably a good thing. Similarly with the root counts, kind of the same trend, where 1646 had a lot more nematodes in the roots compared to our resistant varieties. And then that same trend continues on with our Golland indices, where 1646 had more. So lastly, with harvest, we collected soil samples at harvest. These would be harvest nematode soil counts. Again, looking at in-furrow treatment with and without aldicarb, no difference at this point. Again, probably not to be unexpected that that's what the result was. Looking at harvest nematode soil counts, kind of similarly set up to how we had it earlier. It was interesting to me that 1646, which had a higher number of nematodes all season, by the time we got to harvest, had reduced its number. And maybe this was due to the rooting structure of 1646 might not have been as healthy and lush as phytogen 430 at this point. Maybe that's why the number on the phytogen 430 increased at harvest. But again, I think kind of the take-home message with a lot of this is look at all of our resistant varieties, even including phytogen 350. Everything was much lower than our susceptible varieties. So kind of to wrap up in conclusion, again, it's 6 weeks after planting, Delta Pine 1646 had the highest level of southern root knot measured by recovery from the soil roots and galling. 6 weeks after planting, our 1840 Delta Pine, phytogen 350 and phytogen 430 supported what we would consider an intermediate level of southern root knot from the soil roots and then the levels of galling. And then at the same time period, Stoneville 5600, Delta Pine 1747, and Phytogen 480 supported the lowest levels of southern root knot. In terms of harvest, again, the trends for recovery from soil were not identical to those of 6 weeks after planting, except resistant varieties had fewer nematodes than the susceptible. Again, Stoneville 5600, Delta Pine 1747, Phytogen 350, and Phytogen 480 supported the lowest levels. Delta Pine 1840 and 1646 were kind of in that intermediate range, and then Phytogen 430 supported the highest level of southern root knot. Again, AgLogic provided nematode control up to 6 weeks after planting. The nematicidal seed treatments did not really provide that much control, but again, that was probably expecting a little bit much from 6 weeks out. Especially in the conditions of this field, we kind of considered this to be a very high-pressure area. But overall, resistant varieties appear to reduce nematodes and provide additional control measure for growers. So like I mentioned earlier, kind of our future research to evaluate commercially available nematode resistant varieties across environments, soil textures, and nematode pressures. And continue to evaluate host plant resistance in cotton and the potential these varieties have in our current production systems. So I'd like to acknowledge Will Henderson, Jason Woodward, Debbie Brown, and then the Clemson Nematode Assay Lab for the help with this research. And with that, I'll attempt to take any questions that you may have. I can't really speak to that. Totally. I know Dr. Mueller's been looking a lot at some interlobii. I would imagine he'll probably look into that some. I'm not exactly sure how widespread it is yet, so I don't know. I can get back to you on that for sure. So, yeah.
I wasn't aware that Delta Pine 1840 had any
resistance. Does it have partial or is it considered susceptible? No, I think it's considered susceptible, but I think kind of how he got his groupings were based on the results of what we saw. in terms of, because we add phytogen 350 in that intermediate, which it's resistant to. So, yes. Right. That's right. And so, kind of a long story short, we did collect yields. We did collect yields. With this test only having three reps, we did lose a considerable amount of stand due to sting early on. And so we didn't feel like we could pull a rip out and really feel good about our yield numbers. So that's kind of the next step. We're going to try to have smaller plots, several more reps this coming year, maybe simplify it a little bit and try to get some yield numbers. So. That's right. I don't think we put it in to the data. So.